Rishus Rav Teitz, Rav Herman, Rav Schwartz, Rishus HaKal HaKadosh Hazeh. What is a chus for our community to be able to gather together during the Yetzei Seres Yimei Tshuva, to be mechazek each other, united as one kehila, to be able to learn together, to grow together in our Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. It's a privilege to be able to share Divrei Torah with all of you, but it's really my privilege to be able to hear from the other Rabbanim, Yemir Tzashem, who are all here to hear this evening. And our focus this evening is the second Mishnah in Avos, a Maimer of Shimon HaTzadik, whose life motto was, Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omed, that the world stands on three things, Al HaTorah, which we'll get to in a moment, Al HaAvodah, Al Gemilas Chasadim. And what we see from this Mishnah is that the Torah is among the Amudei Ha'olam, the very foundations of the world. And which part of Torah exactly are we referring to? The Bartanura says that Shimon HaTzadik was referring to Kabbalas HaTorah, to receiving the Torah on Har Sinai thousands of years ago, and were it not for that, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have created the world. But that relegates Torah to a historical book that can be left on a bookshelf in the back of the room, in some corner of our homes, in a museum perhaps, and doesn't seem to have a lot of relevance for us today in Tav Shanai and Vav. And furthermore, asks the Tosfos Yontif on the Mishnah, we know that Avoda and Gemilas Chasadim are part and parcel of the Torah. It can't simply be that it's only referring to Kabbalas HaTorah. And so rather, says the Tosfos Yontif, it refers to the logic, Hahegyo and the Limud HaTorah, the logic, the understanding, and the learning of Torah. After all, what is Gemilas Chesed? Let's put it simply as kind deeds. Giving charity, for example, to a poor person. But anybody in the world can give charity to a poor person. Non-Jews also have charitable organizations that exist to help out those who need. What makes giving charity uniquely Jewish to be specifically referred to as tzedakah, as Gemilas Chasadim? For that, we need the Torah to tell us whether it's Trumos or Maestros, Leket, Shichcha, Peya, Maeser Ani, Maeser Rishon. There's so many different examples where the Torah obligates us to give to others, but it's not just because we feel good about doing it, but it's rather because there's a Mechayev, the Torah obligates us to do so. And similarly, many people pray, many people daven, many people worship, and some people meditate, but what makes prayer turn into something that's Avodah Shebelev? The fact that there's a mechayev, there's tefillah, specifically during these days, Kra'u Hashem, Dirshu Hashem Behi Matzo, Kra'u Bioso Karov, Hashem is waiting for us to call out to Him. It's not simply answering to a higher authority, but rather we're calling out to Avinu Shebashamayim because we know that He's there waiting for us, waiting for us to call out and waiting to answer our call. And so therefore we understand the Torah provides us with a framework of how to live our lives, how we get up in the morning, how we conduct our business during the day, how to have meaningful relationships with those around us whom we care so much about. But it's more than simply just an amud, it's more than just simply a pillar upon which the world stands. You see, Torah in fact predates the world. The Medrash Rabbah tells us, Istakel be'araisu bara alma, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah and only then was able to create the world. Hashem in His infinite wisdom, that was the process that He followed. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains that the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ultimate desire of what Hashem wants from each and every one of us, can be discerned by looking in the Torah. By looking at a pasuk, by studying a pasuk in Chumash, a parak of Tehillim, a blat Gemara, or even a Simen Katan in Mishnah Berurah. Hashem didn't look out to the Jewish week, or even the Jewish link, to decide what the morals and values and ethics of the Torah are, but rather He looked at the Torah to see what the ethics, the morals, the values, the principles which are eternal and everlasting, to decide how to create the world. And during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, as we're all trying to increase our Dveikus BaKadosh Baruch Hu to come closer to Avinu Shebashamayim, trying to gain a deeper understanding of what it is that we're doing here every day, day in and day out, night in and night out, week in and week out. We're trying to improve, we're trying to understand what it is that we're doing here. We need to delve into the depths of the Yam HaTalmud to gain a better insight, to inch ever closer to understanding, to gain a little bit of insight into what exactly is the Ratzon HaBore, of what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. But it's even deeper than that. You see, Rav Elazar teaches us that the heaven and earth would not have been created without the Torah having been created first. Shenemar, as the Pasuk tells us, in Lovarisi Yomam V'Laila, if not for my bris, which is upheld day and night, Chukos Shemayim V'Aretz L'Samti, the laws of heaven and earth would not have been established. And what is the bris? What is the covenant that exists day and night? It's the Torah. V'Hagisa Bo Yomam V'Laila. We need to study Torah day and night. We don't say that about Avodah. We don't say that about Gemilas Chasadim. And perhaps because it's the Torah that keeps the world in existence. That the day that we received it is something that we're obligated to remember on a daily basis. It's one of the Sheish Zechiros. Rak Yishomer Lecha Ashmor Nafshecha Me'od. Beware. And our souls should beware. Pentishkachetz HaDevarim HaShara'u Einecha. Lest we forget. Ufen Yasru Milvavcha. And we remove it from our hearts. Kol Yimei Chayecha. Every single day of our lives. Torah is not a historical book. It wasn't a ceremony given on Har Sinai. It's not something that we celebrate once a year on Shavuos. And it wasn't something that was relegated to academics in the ivory towers. It wasn't given even only to a couple of thousand men who were studying in Kollel every day. Nor was it given to us to learn when we retire, when we have more free time. We were all there. We all need to remember it. And the only way to remember it is by learning it every single day. Because the very world depends on its existence, of its study. Because if we don't, then we're likely to lose it within a generation or two. Halacha tells us that a kli rishon, something that a kli that is hot, comes off of the stove, it's hot, it's able to be mevashal, it's able to cook. A kli sheni, second degree removed, sometimes it's able to cook. A kli shlishi, barely able to cook. Third generation, so far removed, it's cooled off already, it's almost gone. And if we don't live with the life of fire within us, then within 2 to 3 generations, we can almost assume that it's going to be gone, chas v'shalom. And we know this empirically. If we look out at the Pew Report, we look out at college campuses where people who go after studying in yeshivos and seminaries for years, for 15 years, and they get to a secular campus and they don't study anymore, they're not learning, they're not going to minyan anymore, by the time they graduate, their frumkeit is gone. No more Shabbos, no more kashrus. Think about how many Jews we can invite to the Shabbos project. Because think about how many Jews have no Torah in their life on a daily basis. And one of the reasons for this is because there are lots of things that are more enticing to many people than Torah. Would you rather learn from an ancient text? Or would you rather see what the latest headlines are, what the scores are? You can watch a football game from your cell phone in your pocket. And people used to walk around with Mishnayos in their pockets. People used to walk around with Tehillim in their pockets. Just every spare second that they had, they'd learn a little bit. And now we're distracted. We have other things that are more exciting to us. And our Limud HaTorah, on a global scale, is diminished as a result. And only if we view the Torah as a fundamental component, not only of our lives, but as a foundational component of the world, is it possible, will we zocha to see generations learning, being committed to Shmiras HaMitzvos, as we hope they are? But I'd like to conclude with one question. And that is, why are we talking about Torah today? If today is the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Tshuva, Tfilot, Tzaka, we should be focusing on that. Now you'll say, Rabbi, we spoke about that last year, and you're right. But certainly there's a lot more to cover than the hour that we gave it last year together. So why Torah? Why now? I'd suggest it's because the Luchos Shnios, the second set of Luchos, were given on Yom Kippur. And in contrast to the Luchos Rishonos, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe, it was a Luchos Shnios that endured. It's a Luchos Shnios that we kept in the Aron, that we were everlasting. Because those were the Luchos that were created after the Chet. After the Chet, the sin of the Chet HaEgel. After we were spiritually sullied by sin. And yet those were the luchos that endured. And we often think that we can't grow in Limud HaTorah because we too, our neshamos, are sullied by Averos as well. Because we've been through this year after year. And what's it worth? There's Sifrei Tanakh that we'll never understand. There are sukkahs that we'll never touch. There's Sfarim on our bookshelves that are just going to collect dust. And even if we try to learn it, if we try to do Daf Yomi, If we do daf yomi be'ir, not going to remember it. So why bother? It goes into one ear and it goes right out the other, and I can do it again as if it was new for the first time. Why not place more of an emphasis on the other components of avoda, of davening? I'm going to focus on my davening. Or I'm going to focus on tzedakah and gemilas chasadim instead of learning. Not so terrible. But we can take comfort in knowing that if that's our concern, that our concern is that we're not going to remember, we're not going to understand it, so we're not alone. There was somebody much greater than all of us in this room who struggled with the very same challenge. The Yerushalmi in Harios tells us about such an individual, and his name was Moshe Rabbeinu. Amar Rabbi Yochanan kol osan arba'im yom sha'asa Moshe bahar. All 40 days that Moshe went up to Har Sinai, hayalimei Torah b'mishakcha. He's tried to learn Torah and he forgot it. Notice the lashon of the Gemara. Kol arba'im yom. All 40 days. Which is to say that he would get up in the morning and he would start morning Seder with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as his chavrusa, trying to understand what Hashem was teaching him. And by afternoon Seder, he forgot it. It was gone. It was as if he never learned it. This is Moshe Rabbeinu we're talking about. And eventually, the Gemara tells us, Nitnu lo b'matana, it was given to him as a gift because he couldn't grasp it. And so if I was Moshe Rabbeinu, what would I be asking myself? Why bother? Every day I get up and I try my best. I apply myself. I focus as much as I can, but I forget it. It's so frustrating. Bishvil ha'chzer es ha'tipshim. That the people who aren't as wise, who aren't as mentally gifted as Moshe Rabbeinu can have an answer to say, look, if it was difficult for him and yet he endured, he persevered, and so too the rest of us can try and follow that model. If Moshe could forget, and he continued, and so can I, because I want to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. I'd like to close with a story that has continued to impact me for 2 years now. Jeremy is a person who used to live in New Jersey, and he has a very difficult and demanding job. He works 6 days a week. He has a very difficult life at home, and he doesn't have a lot of spare time to himself. In 2005, he was inspired by the Siyum HaShas, and he started to take upon himself he was going to learn Daf Yomi every day. But he wasn't immediately inspired. See, he missed Brachos, and he missed Shabbos, and he started learning Daf Yomi when they got to Erevin. Now, for those of you who's ever learned Erevin, not exactly the easiest Masechta to start with. But Jeremy kept at it for a week or two, and eventually he realized that it was just too difficult. He wasn't, forget about remembering, he wasn't understanding it. And so most of us in that situation would tell ourselves, okay, I gave it my best shot, it's not for me, I'm going to move on, I'm going to go back to the way things were. What more could HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask for me? I tried. But Jeremy understood the importance of Limud HaTorah, not only for himself, but the value of having his children see that he left every day to go to a Daf Yomi Shir, to be Kovei Itim LaTorah, because he understood that he was doing his part in sustaining the world in one of the Amudei HaOlam. He decided to slow it down. And he decided to keep going. And every Monday night, for an hour and a half, he would learn in the Beis Medrash with the Chavrusa. And it took him 8 years to finish Maseches Erevin. And on Erev Yom Kippur 2 years ago, he made a siyum on Maseches Erevin with his chavrusa, and he invited the whole community to join him because it wasn't just stam a siyum. This was the very first siyum he ever made in his entire life on Maseches Erevin. Like Moshe, he forgot some of it, but he understood that his job was not going to be getting him into Olam Haba. And he understood that his avoda wasn't by itself going to be getting him into Olam Haba, nor was his gemilas chasadim, which was tremendous. And so he tried, and he made a plan, and he persevered, and he stuck at it. And that's suggesting that we all start learning Erevin today. But something, add something more that you didn't have when you came into this room tonight. Whether it's a blot, or an amud, or a perek of Tehillim, or even a pasuk in Chumash a day, with Rashi, with Unkelus, your favorite parish. The world, the sky is the limit. There's so many perushim available to us today. Because we need to understand that it's not just for us. It's not our own din that hangs in the balance. But it's more than that when it comes to Torah and Avodah and Gemilas Chasadim. It's the entire very existence of the world that depends on us. Each and every one of us, every single day. Yomam v'layla, day and night. The weight of the world is on our shoulders. And so Amir Tashem, by each of us committing to an extra few minutes of learning, those of you who are in the hills for Rosh Hashanah, even 7 minutes can have just such an impact. Amir Tashem will be nechta v'nechta l'alter l'chayim to ishnas bracha v'yatzlacha and Kadosh Baruch Hu should be imali kol mishalas libeinu l'tova g'mar chasim atova.
Show us the Moradasra of Tites. It's not? Is this working? He's a great little boy. Show us the Moradasra of Tites, my distinguished Chosha colleagues, Rabbi Schwartz and Rabbi Gleisha, a tremendous Shakaya for the chizuk that I just received from Limud HaTorah, and I'm sure I'm going to receive the same kind of chizuk for Chesed, Maisim Tovim. My job is to provide Chizuk for Tefillah. We're talking about the Amudei Ha'olam, the pillars of the world. Some understand it, the purpose for which the world was created. Others understand it, that which sustains the world. But either way that you look at it, the Tiferes Yisrael's comment on this Mishnah is important because he says, we're talking about the Olomo, the individual's work. That for a person's individual world to be sustained and to be supported and have a purpose, one has to concentrate and excel in these three areas. Now, when it comes to tefillah, we could go to the Briyas Olam, the creation of the world, to see how essential davening is to the functioning and running of the world. The Torah tells us that on the third day of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ordered that the vegetation, the plants, the trees come forth. And the earth brought these forth. Later on, when the Torah recounts what happened on the sixth day, the Torah tells us, V'chol siach asodeh terem yiyeh ba'aretz. And all that grew from the ground before it came out. Third day told us it came out, but here it's telling us that it didn't come out. Rashi explains the pasuk as follows, that yes, on the third day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought all that was to grow up to the surface, but it remained just below the surface. And there it waited for the sixth day. On the sixth day, man was created. And the pasuk says that Hashem didn't want all that was to grow to come out just yet. Because number one, it didn't rain yet. And number two, man was not created. And Rashi explains this in an interesting fashion. He says that yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu held back the rain, which was necessary for everything to grow. Why did he hold back the rain? Because man was not yet created to appreciate the significance and importance of rain so that he should daven for it to rain. And so without Adam's davening for rain, nothing could move forward. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put what was necessary for the world in place, but there was one more piece that was necessary, and that was the tefillah, the davening of Adam HaRishon. This was to serve as a paradigm for everything in the world. That for everything in the world, we know that there are causes and effects to everything that happens. There's a complex system of causes and effects that's put into place to bring about everything that's beneficial to the world. But the engine, the energy that drives everything, is tefillah, is one's davening. And Rav Elio Lapian explains, and he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliberately set up the world this way because he wanted man to have an ongoing, continuous connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because if the world was just set up for things to develop and evolve on their own, then man doesn't have to continuously turn to Ribbono Shel Olam for everything that they want, for everything that they need. But when man recognizes that tefillah is necessary for every bracha that everyone wants in their life, then there is a need for man to continuously connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam. But how does this tefillah bring about such brachas? There's a very interesting Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Dav Yud Ches that tells us that two people ended up very sick and on their deathbeds. Two people who were brought up before a tribunal for a capital crime. In both cases, both of these individuals were close to their end. The end of the story, the Gemara tells us, is that both individuals, right, even though they were in the bed, Zehis Falel, this guy davened, and he was answered. And the other one davened, and he wasn't answered. And the Gemara asks, why is it that one was answered and one was not answered? And the Gemara says that one said a tefillah shalema, a whole tefillah. And Rashi explains what a whole tefillah means is a tefillah with kavanah. Now the word kavanah is a very interesting word. It means with thought, with concentration. But let me ask you, how do you understand this Gemara? You have two guys who are on their deathbed. Both guys know that their end is so close. So yes, we can understand the person who's davening with kavanah. But could you begin to understand the person who's davening without kavanah? He already picked up a sitter. He's davening. And he knows that his life depends on it. How do we begin to entertain the possibility that he's davening without kavanah, without concentration? So I'd like to make a suggestion of what it could possibly mean. There's another Gemara in Brachos, on Daf Yud. It relates an encounter with Yeshaya HaNavi and Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Hashem sends Yeshayahu to Chizkiyahu HaMelech and basically tells him, your end has arrived. Go and tell your family what your last wishes are, because you're not going to live. Chizkiyahu turns to Yeshaya and says, what did I do? Well, he says, what you did is you didn't get married and you didn't have children. And Chizkiyahu says, well, there's a good reason. The reason I didn't, because I knew through Nevuah that if I would marry, my child would be a Rasha. It's a good reason not to get married and have children. Yeshaya admonishes Chizkiyahu and he says to him, what are you doing with the secrets of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Your job, man's job, is to do what he's ordered to do, what the halacha dictates. What will come after we follow the halacha, that's up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We don't have any right to go ahead and explore that. Chizkiyahu accepts the admonishment of Yeshaya. And he says to Yeshaya, you know, I have a good idea. In order for me to perhaps change the fate of my child, let me marry a daughter. Yeshaya says, my daughter? I'm not giving you my daughter. You're a dead man. You're not going to live. So how can I go ahead and give my daughter to you? At that moment, Chizkiyahu looks at Yeshaya and says, finish whatever you have to say and get out. And he says to him, the reason is, I have a Masorah from Avi Abba, my ancestor, David HaMelech. Many of you have heard this expression. Afilu cherev chado nachas atzavoro shel odom. Even if there's a sharp sword stretched out across the throat of a person, ayimna atzmo min harachmin, should not hold back from asking rachamim. A powerful lesson that Chizkiyahu learned from his ancestor David HaMelech. Ask Rav Tzadik HaKohen Milublin. He says, you know, if Chizkiyahu wanted a source for how we know that a person should always ask for rachamim even after there's a gzeira, go to Moshe Rabbeinu. Go to the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was decreed not to go into Eretz Yisrael. And yet, he davened and davened and davened to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. So why do I need a special Masorah from David HaMelech? So the answer is Rav Tzadok, and he says, Moshe was not answered affirmatively. He still was not permitted to go into Eretz Yisrael. So one might get the sense that, look, if there's a gezeira against me, I have a chiyuv, I have an obligation to daven. But it doesn't mean that my tefillah could help. From David HaMelech, however, there was a gezeira against him. He defines the gezeira as after David sinned with Bathsheba. And there was a gezeira to punish David HaMelech. David HaMelech was not discouraged, but turned to tefillah. Poured out his heart to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And as a result of pouring his heart to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the gezeira was overturned. That was the Masorah that Hizkiyahu had from David HaMelech. There's no such thing. There could be that sword that's lying across my neck, and there doesn't seem to be any conceivable way of stopping it. There could be the gezeira against us, and there doesn't seem to be any conceivable way to overturn it. But Hizkiyahu's Masorah was with tefillah. Of course, it could be overturned. That's kavanah. That's what we mean by kavanah. There's kavanah of perush amilos, of understanding the words that you're saying, which is a very, very fine thing. But there's a much greater type of kavanah that everyone has to have when they're davening. And that is to believe without a shadow of a doubt that if they're going to daven as if their lives depended upon it, and that whatever gezeira raw there might be, chas v'shalom, could be overturned as a result of the power of tefillah. You have to have that kind of emunah, that kind of bitachon, that kind of kavanah. That kind of kavanah could get a dead man out of bed. That kind of kavanah could help a person come out of a tribunal that looks like it's going to end his life and save his life. Whereas the other person in that gemara may have been someone who opened up the siddur and davened, because that's what you're supposed to do when your life is about to end. But you don't necessarily have the confidence that it could overturn what seems to be inevitable. You just do it because that seems to be the right thing. Now this is not easy. To have this level of munah bitachon is not easy, because we daven so many times for so many things, and we don't necessarily see the results that we'd like. After Rosh Hashanah, the day after Rosh Hashanah, I came across an individual who I have a tremendous amount of respect for. Very religious person, very sincere, and very giving person. And I asked them, how was your Rosh Hashanah? And the person gave me a very tepid response. All right, Rosh Hashanah. He says, why? What's going on? Well, there are situations going on with people who I know, people who are sick. And I daven, and I don't really expect anything to change. And so I'm not inspired. I was taken aback. I was taken aback by the honesty of this person, but also the reality of how difficult it is really to overcome what we face continuously in our davening. I read recently a comment that someone wrote, and it was heartbreaking. A person who was going out for an extended period of time, and they write, I'm davening for years for my beshert, my zivug. Still never came. I feel like I'm just burnt out of davening so much, and I see no results. It's heartbreaking that people daven, but yet they don't see the results that they would like. We know that there have been massive tefillah movements that brought Klal Yisrael together to daven for Yeshua, to daven for salvation, hoping that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would perform an ace, and the peoples whose lives were in danger would be saved. The most famous story was back to Nachshon's mother, Nachshon was an Israeli soldier who was taken, kidnapped. Nachshon Waxman, who was taken, who was kidnapped. They tried to free him. Unfortunately, he was killed. And all of Klal Yisrael came together to daven. And the reporter asked Nachshon's mother, parents, so what do you think about all of that davening? And without any hesitation, they said, well, sometimes the answer is no. But the answer is more than that, really. Because the Chazon Ish tells us that, yes, we daven. We daven for what we think is best. But what's bitachon? Bitachon is davening for what we think is best, but also trusting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what ultimately is the best thing to happen. We, in our limited view of the world, think we know. And based on that, we daven. But ultimately, we know that the Ribbono Shel Olam is listening to our tefillos and answering us in the best way possible for us. That's the bitachon of the Chazon Ish. Rav Pinkus points out that when Kadosh Baruch Hu came to Abraham to daven for Sodom, he knew that no matter what Abraham davened, it wouldn't help for the people of Sodom. So why did he have Abraham daven so much? He puts it and he says it because he created a tefillah bank account. If the tefillah doesn't help for this one incident, it's going to help somewhere else. But there's no such thing as a tefillah that doesn't help and is not answered by the Ribbono Shel Olam. And this is ultimately really what's needed. What's needed by people who are coming to daven to transform their davening is an amunah and a bitachon in the power of a tefillah. And the more we feel that power of tefillah, the more we daven with a tremendous sense of feeling and purpose. The Gemara tells us in Brachos that there are four things that need chizuk. Three of the things we're discussing right here. The one that I'm discussing is tefillah. That tefillah needs chizuk. And the Gemara brings down a pasuk to tell us what's the source that tefillah needs chizuk. And the pasuk is, Kaveh el Hashem chazak v'yameitz nidecha v'kaveh el Hashem. Hope in Hashem, strengthen yourself, He will give you courage, and hope in Hashem. Rashi writes, hope in Hashem, and daven. V'im lo tiskabel tefilosecha, and if your tefillos have not been received, they haven't been answered the way you want, chazor v'kabel, go back and hope again. You never give up hope. That's the yisod over here. Why would I give up hope? I would give up hope because I davened and I didn't see the results that I want. Go back and hope again. Because there's no such thing as a tefillah that's not answered. And the Radak points out that David HaMelech is talking to himself. I have such hope in the Ribbono Shel Olam, but yet my enemies and all the challenges that are surround me make it so difficult to hope. But I keep hoping and hoping and hoping, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me the strength to continue. Tefillah is the engine that brings the brachos to all of us. Couldn't help but think, but imagine how many brachos are waiting out there, just below the surface, that can't come out and enrich our lives because we didn't daven the kavanah. How many opportunities are lost as a result of that? That's why it needs kizuk. If we daven and we come into shul and just take that moment to think that my tefillah can make the difference of getting a bracha or not, that could be a transforming davening. And hopefully one person's davening strengthens another person's davening, and another person's davening, the entire kehillah that's gathered here today, we all strengthen each other, and through our tefillos and our bitachon in them, hopefully we'll see the Yeshuas and Nechamos that we so desperately need, both in our personal lives and for Klal Yisrael, and the Gula should come to Heir Avinu.
Wow. Rishus Harav Maradasha, Rishus Harav Marda Bekanishta, Rishus, my dear colleague Rabbi Bleicher. Wow. So I now know that Torah predates the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu stood there waiting for our tefillos to make the world begin. And I'm standing here thinking to myself, I spent a lot of time preparing Torah, and now I have to offer a prayer. You l'rotzonim reifi, ve'yon libi lefanecha. But you both began with stories, and use stories as a vehicle, so I guess I have to do the same. There's a weird avos to Reb Nosson. Pamachas, once upon a time, that's the Gemara's way of beginning a story. Hayah Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai yotzei mi'Yerushalayim. Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai was leaving Yerushalayim. It was immediately in the generation after Churban HaBayis. Seems to be a theme that's running through all the different shmuzin that have been offered. V'hayah Reb Yeshua holech acharav. His student Reb Yeshua was following him. V'ra'a beis hamikdash chariv. Reb Yeshua turned out, he looked out on the ramparts and he saw the destroyed Beis HaMikdash. Overwhelmed, Reb Yeshua declared, Oy lanu, woe unto us, al zeh shehu charev. Woe unto us, take a look at Har HaBayis. Take a look at the place of Avoda. Makom shemiskaprim bo avonoseim shel Yisrael, the place where all of the iniquities, all of the averos of Am Yisrael would be able to be atoned. And now it's gone. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai took the moment to offer words of consolation and hope. Amar Lehi said, B'ni, al yeira lach, don't let this distress you 1 ounce. Why? Yesh lanu kapara achas, shehi kamosa. We still have one kapara. We still have one place for atonement, one system of atonement that is just like having the Beis HaMikdash, just like performing the Avodah. Ve'ezozeh, what is that place? What is that element? Says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Gemilus Chasadim. Rav Shmuel Malavar, the Rav of Bialystok, came along and he didn't understand the Avos de Reb Nosson. Couldn't understand. Why does it trouble Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai so much that Rabbi Yeshua was sad? Be sad, there was a destruction. Can't Rabbi Yeshua, the student, be hurt by a destruction? And why is it that while taking into account the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and recognizing that perhaps on the one hand there was a kapara of Gemilus Chasadim, why is there not the kapara of Torah? Why can we not turn around and recognize that there was a parallel kapara to be found when one goes into the Beis HaMedrash? And even if he can't open up Masechta Erevin, let him start easier, as Rabbi Bleicher noted so beautifully, with a pasuk in Chumash, with a Mishnah, perhaps even a shmuz or a drasha from a rabbi. Doesn't the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah also recognize that the kapara for the house of Eli was to be found not only in Torah, but also in Gemilas Chasadim, not only in Gemilas Chasadim, but Torah as well? Do we not know of the great Torah luminaries, both Rabbah and Abaye, who both benefited from the study of Torah and Chesed, and as a result, both were able to withstand the pressure of death and experience somewhat elongated lives? Why the focus on Gemilas Chesed? How does Chesed replace the kapara of Avoda uniquely? But my dear rabbinical colleagues, indeed my dear wonderful Kehila Kedosha, fundamentally, there is one major difference in the Mishnah that we've all been discussing. Or as we like to say on the other side of town, one of these things is not like the others. On the one hand, the Mishnah tells us, Al shlosha devarim ha'olam omeid, there are three things that the world stands upon. One is al ha'Torah, on the Torah, and the other is avoda. And so therefore, just based on the rules of grammar and parallelism, the third one should be al ha'chesed. And yet the author of the Mishnah chooses not to focus on the chesed. The author turns around and declares, Al gmilus chasadim. We say, Amarti olam chesed yiboneh. It's chesed that builds the world. We note that Torah is tchila gemilus chasadim besofa gemilus chasadim. The Torah begins and ends on the principles of gemilus chesed. So why not note that the third amud is not al hachesed, but rather al gemilus chasadim? Unless, of course, folks, there are two parts to chesed. There's doing chesed, and then there's a being of chesed. Fact of the matter is that there's a natural human desire to do good things for the people around us. In the same, we are all in the same boat. We're part of the same kehillah. We're part of the same world community. And we want everyone in our boat to do well as well. After all, isn't that natural desire at the root of the success of corporate America, which argues that teamwork is one of the great ways of getting things done? Isn't it one of the rules of society as discussed in sociology? I hope so, because otherwise I got to go back to graduate school. Because the very first lesson I learned from the very first professor was a lesson where he turned us into a laboratory. And he turned to us and he said, that was the point of my lecture. It was to teach you that you are all here. You are not in this to compete with one another. You need to work with one another. If I give to you and you do well, so then I'm doing well. We do well. The giving that you and I call chesed. In this style, this idea of giving chesed is a means of increasing the general good that exists within the world. And this is at the root of what I might call the charge, the mitzvah of chesed, which perhaps can be found most fundamentally in one very basic golden rule that exists within the Torah. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. One needs to love his neighbor as himself, which sets a bar, which demands of you and me to pull those who are worse off up to a level where they're able to be together with us. And that idea, doing chesed, is an important societal tool. But left unchecked, chesed kamocha, the chesed when you bring somebody up to your level, can be fraught with the danger as well. When we live in a society that's boundaryless, there's room for exploitation. My late great Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Yaakov Goldbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, noted that this is why in the Kriyas HaTorah that is leined at Mincha time on Yom HaKippurim, we focus on the Isurei Arayos, on the illicit relationships. For one who engages in illicit relations with one of the Arayos is said to have engaged in Chesed. Chesed, who says the Torah? That Chesed, said Rav Goldbach Zatzal, is what you and I call a Chesed de Tumah, or a tame-based chesed. Perhaps that's because the opportunity to achieve something great is lost, because what was at the center of your action of chesed was the I, what's in it for me in that chesed. No, folks, a gomel chesed reaches for a higher ideal. Almost 40 years ago in a shir in Boston, Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, identified the Gomel Chesed as the one who does both an act of selflessness on the one hand, and at the same time, an act of kindness on the other hand. When you do something selfless, you are a chassid. When you do something selfless and make sure that that selfless action is an act of kindness, then you're a Gomel Chesed. The motivation of the Gomel Chesed is not based on getting the check in the book of doing the right thing. It's an instinctual desire that the Gomel Chesed has to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu is a prototypical example of the Gomel Chesed. He had that innate desire to do Chesed, not because he wanted to do the right thing, because it was the right thing to do as written in the book to get the check mark in the book. Avraham Avinu had that innate desire because he wanted to do the way of Hashem. Rav Herman's Rosh Hashiva Zatzal, Rav Hanach Leibowitz, points out that this was apparent to anyone who came into contact with Avram Avinu. We pointed it out on that first day of Rosh Hashanah. Avimelech Melech Plishtim tells Avram Avinu, oh, I now know, Elokim Imcha, B'chol Asher Ata Oseh, that God is with you with everything that you do. That you went out of your way to do chesed. You moved from Sodom because there was no one there to do chesed for and now live among the Philistines. For what reason, says Rav Hanach? Because you're a gomel chesed. God is with you. Whenever you do something, it's motivated by doing that which God does. Indeed, the Medrash Rabbah points out in the name of Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak that God himself told Avram Avinu, Ani, me, says God, Omanusi, gomel chasadim. When God fills out an application and it says on it, occupation, the Almighty writes, Gomel Chesed. Says the Medrash, God told Avram Avinu, Tafasta, O Manusi, you're now living my occupation. Avram Avinu understood what it was not only to do Chesed, but to be a Chesed. Rachel Imenu, another major personality of the season, who engaged in a selfless sacrifice on the one hand, and a kindness to her sister on the other, that not only stretched her life, but continues into her death, was an individual who engaged in chesed, not in a similar, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, I'm doing the right thing. She was a gomelet chesed. She was one who lived chesed. She died chesed. She was a pillar of what makes the world go round. She got it. And so therefore, when the chips are down, mini kolech mi bechi, yesh sachar l'pula seich ne'um Hashem, it's Rachel Imenu who will make sure that there will be a future. This has been our signature. Our signature traits as Jews. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us, Simonei Yisrael, if you want to know what a Jew is, Rachmanim, we show mercy. Baishanim, we have a sense of humility. And gomlei chasadim, we're gomel chesed. It doesn't say, folks, that we are baalei chesed. I have to be honest, I don't really know what a baal chesed is. For either one is selfless and is a gomel chesed in the same way that God is a gomel chesed, or one does chesed. But to insert the term baal over here could be pretty dangerous. Just like when Baal enters the realm of avoda, of service as well, it's muzar, or perhaps zara. Perhaps this was the concern that Rabbi Yeshua had that we started with. Rabbi Yeshua wondered aloud, how are we ever going to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore? When one entered the Beis HaMikdash, one was immediately beset with the splendor of it's me and God, Aniva Hu, it's me and Him, and everything that took place in that Beis HaMikdash was an experience of an interaction with a greater God. And now, that possibility of finding it seemed to be fleeting. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai pulled him over and refused to allow despair to set in. There is another means of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is another kapara that allows us to achieve that selfless closeness to being like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For Ani Vahu, says the Gemara in Shabbos, can also remind us, Mahu Afata, just like God is a Gomel Chesed. You, me, all of us, we can all innately be Gomlei Chasodin. We act the way God acts. We should be Gomlei Chasodin in our minds in the exact same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Folks, we've built a beautiful community with beautiful chesed structures, and we engage in many, many, many ma'asei chesed. And in that sense, we've been awesomely successful at sustaining Jewish existence even post-Churban. But in order to build a new world order, in order to strengthen the amud of chesed, we need to live up to the charge of the altar of Slabodka. At the end of the tefillah that HaRav Herman Shlita spoke about, when we declare, Ki va'or panecha, using the light of God, nasata lanu Hashem Elokeinu, God, you have given us, Toras Chaim v'yavas chesed, God, you gave us the innate inclination to imitate you. Your sense of a selfless kindness that is enhanced by the acts of chesed that we do. If we become those who attempt to be mechaper with that style of avoda here, where we think like a baal chesed, where we act like a gomel chesed, where everything that we do is guided by a force that's above the I, but rather for the greater needs of the relationship of anivahu, then we'll be zocha once again to a different form of avoda, v'hashev es ha'avodalet v'rbeisecha v'ishay Yisrael.
I too will begin your shus, my fellow Rabbani, but for a different reason. We are told that kol ha-mosif goreya, to add on that which is unnecessary is to detract. And I'm afraid that anything I say could only serve to detract from the powerful words you heard about Torah, about Avodah, and about Midos Chasad. But fools rush in where angels fear to tread, and I'll rush in as well. I have to say, it's a very clever thing. You have four rabbanim speaking to make it an hour before mincha, because it puts a limit on how much can be said. As we heard, we now know that there are more about the three columns upon which the world stands, the Torah, the Avodah, and the Midos Chasad. Torah, though, is not just the learning of Torah. The bracha of Torah is Ava Rabba, the bracha we say before Shema. In fact, if a person neglected to make Birchas HaTorah before davening and has in mind an Ava Rabba, the Biyotze, and learns immediately after Shemoneh Esrei, he has fulfilled the obligation. But what do we say in that mitzvah, in that bracha? The same libeinu v'havinu v'haskinu v'shmoa li'umod u'lamei li'shmor v'lasos. That the ultimate goal of learning is not learning for its own sake, but it is the Shmor V'la'asos is part and parcel of Limud HaTorah. The mitzvah of Limud HaTorah is the Limud Avonas La'asos. And if you'll pardon me, to give a somewhat homiletic interpretation, not the shot. So you could say that the purpose of Torah is to know the Dinus, how you are to behave. Avoda is not just the act of davening, but it is to get closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam and to understand for ourselves what our obligation towards Hashem is. It is to reach the truth of existence. And as far as tzedakah is concerned, it is not only for its own sake, the act of chesed that is done when one does tzedakah, but roya ma'aseh tzedakah shalom. The ultimate goal is that it brings peace among the giver, the donor, the recipient, to everyone. And that will explain why we start out the first parak by saying Yashlosha Dvarim Olam Amed, that the world stands on three things. It was formed on three pillars, Torah, Avodah, and Milos Chasadim. What maintains it is the result of the Torah, Avodah, and Milos Chasadim. And that is the last mission in that first parak, Yashlosha Dvarim Olam Kayom, that the world continues its existence, Al Hadin, Bal Emes, Bal Hashalom, on the consequences of how we apply and internalize and never forget the purpose of the Torah, the Avodah, the Milos Chasadim, to act as we should, to be truthful above all with ourselves, to have shalom, because that is the ultimate bracha. Matzakadosh Baruch Hu Kli Matzik Bracha El Hashalom, and that is the ultimate goal of all that we do. It also tells us that, like a tripod, you need all three. Can't be yotzei with one or even two. But all three are equally important, all three must be equally followed. I hope that we will all, and I know I certainly have, gotten chizuk from the words that were said. May we all derive that chizuk. May we all apply it into our lives. And may we be given the ultimate shalom of the Yehudah Shleima b'Neir.
Amen.